Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a privilege and a pleasure to be in studio as we answer your questions as they come in from all over the world and in many different forums and formats. For example, we get questions on the web. We get questions through Facebook. We get questions through Twitter. Questions have been coming in to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for literally decades. And we answer those questions simply to demonstrate that there are answers to the difficult questions, and only a theistic worldview can answer those questions properly. I've demonstrated that time and time again, and you can find answers in so many different places, including at equip.org, or by writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We've had some very interesting questions come up of late, and I haven't always been able to get to those questions on the broadcast. One of the more interesting questions was asked by a caller named Ryan from Kennewick, Washington. And that question is, how does God know the future if the future does not yet exist? Now, the operative word here is how. How? Not whether or not God knows the future, but how does God know the future? And I thought that was a very insightful question. And in answer to that question, I think that you have to first establish that from beginning to end, the Bible does teach that God is omniscient. So Isaiah, for example, says that God, he knows the end from the beginning. In other words, God's knowledge is exhaustive and it includes even those things which are in the future. And we have to keep in mind that God's omniscience is a great mystery. In other words, we know that God knows, but how God knows remains a mystery. In fact, we don't even understand how it is that we can know what we know, let alone understand how God can know all things, how God can be omniscient. We'd have to be omniscient to fully know how God is omniscient. Now, having said that, there are certainly models that philosophical theologians have proposed to help explain how God knows the future. One model, for example, proposes that since God has the essential property of knowing, and knowing only all true propositions, that God knows the future in virtue of his innate knowledge of all true propositions. And on that model, God doesn't perceive the future in a way that's analogous to the way we perceive, let's say, a distant horizon. He simply immediately knows all things that are true. He knows all true propositions, including true statements about the future. Prominent defender of this view is William Lane Craig. But at the end of the day, the Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth, and his understanding is something that no person can fathom. Those are the words of Holy Scripture, and I guess I'll have to leave it with that. Another interesting caller, Gord from Southbrook, Ontario, Canada, was asking about whether Peter was the first pope. I didn't have time to get to that question on an earlier broadcast, but here's the bottom line, Gord. The Roman Catholic Church has this view that Peter received higher authority from Christ than the authority given to the other apostles. Now, this is not uniformly held. This is held by the Western Roman Catholic Church, but not by the Eastern Church. The Orthodox Church, for example, holds that Peter's authority was the same as the authority of the other apostles. And there are a lot of reasons that the church would hold that. For example, you see the authority given to James at the Jerusalem Council. But you look at some foundational passages whenever you answer these kinds of questions, and two of them that come to mind involve Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. In Matthew 16, you'll recall that Christ says to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I am going to build my church, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, so that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The other passage, Matthew 18, of course, is speaking to all the apostles, Christ saying, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So Catholics believe that the authority given to Peter in Matthew chapter 16 is greater than the authority given to the apostles in Matthew 18. The Orthodox, on the other hand, see that these two commissions have equal authority. But there's a decisive point here. And I think that decisive point is found in the words that Christ uttered to Peter. Christ here was playing on two similar words for rock. Petros, meaning stone. Petra, meaning rock. So Jesus said, "You are Petros. And on this Petra, I will build my church." The Petra is not Peter himself, but rather the faith of the confession of Peter. Christ is the true rock, and the church is built on the faithful confession of Christ exemplified by Peter. So I don't think Scripture supports the Roman Catholic idea of Peter being the first pope. By the way, the word pope sometimes is mysterious to us. It comes from the Latin papa, which means father. Much more could be said, but let me move on quickly to another call. This was a call that was very appropriate in the face of Hurricane Florence. Chad, Salem, Virginia, said, "I've been talking about hurricanes, and he was wondering whether or not God orchestrates the weather." And the answer to that is we live in a created universe, a universe created by God. And that universe has natural conditions associated with it. And hurricanes are part of that order. And hurricanes, in that sense, are efficacious. Hurricanes, and I've said this on previous broadcasts, are the most powerful sources of thunderstorms that produce lightning. And lightning transforms atmospheric nitrogen into plant food. Or hurricanes can redistribute equatorial heat and so forth. So the hurricanes do have a function within God's good created order. But I think we can also say that God does orchestrate the weather. Now, why do I say that? It's because Scripture says that. Think of the great deluge of Noah. Or think about the hailstorm judgment on Egypt in Exodus chapter 9. And there are many other instances of God orchestrating weather events for His purposes within His redemptive history. God made it abundantly clear to Job, He's sovereign over all creation. And therefore, Job was called to simply place his hope and trust in him. Or as the psalmist put it, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. But we do not have a prophet who can infallibly interpret events for us today. So we ought to be very, very careful when we see a hurricane or an earthquake to quickly say, we know the reason that earthquake came or that hurricane. Those are the wickedness of America. We can't say that. We leave this in the hands of an ultimately sovereign God who allows us to affect our will in this world. And oftentimes the devastation is willful defiance of the parameters that God has set up in nature. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break. I want to talk more about hurricanes when we come back from the break. Obviously fresh in our minds as Hurricane Florence devastated the East Coast of the United States, hitting Wilmington and actually affecting where we live in Charlotte, North Carolina as well. Be right back with all of that and more.
God changed the heart of a hateful man who proceeded to change the world. Watching the inspired Word of God depicted in the major motion picture, Paul, Apostle of Christ, will move you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To receive your DVD of Paul, Apostle of Christ, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Christians in the Islamic world are vastly outnumbered and politically subjugated under the Islamic way. In Crucified Again, exposing Islam's new war on Christians, Raymond Ibrahim poignantly states one urgent reason why the West in its entirety, Christians and non-Christians, liberals and conservatives, deists and atheists, should take note of and respond to Muslim persecution of Christians. It is a reflection of what Islam has in store for them. Ibrahim explains that if the mainstream media were to report honestly on the persecution of Christians under Islam, the obvious implications that Islam is dangerously hostile to all non-Muslims would be inescapable. Read Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. To receive your copy as our thanks, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Bring up religion or politics in a conversation, and often people stop being reasonable and demonize those who disagree with them. Fortunately, there are certain skills you can develop that will lead to civil discussions. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We kick off this segment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with a quote of the day. And it comes from one of my favorite passages in the whole of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 40, where the prophet Isaiah is speaking for Almighty God. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fall. But the word of our God stands forever. The words of Isaiah. Again, Isaiah 40, a passage that all of you ought to read again and again. So many beautiful sections where Isaiah says he brings princes to naught. He reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them, and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. I saw that this week as my mother was dying. Life is a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow, and then eternity. And that's what we ought to really care about. In this world, there are tragedies. And when they strike, it is all too common to hear Christian leaders bloviate as to why. I'm thinking now of Pat Robertson. I remember back years ago on the Christian Broadcasting Network, on the 700 Club, he was talking about what happened a long time ago in Haiti. And he was saying that people might not want to talk about this, but what really happened was the Haitians swore a pact with the devil. And they said, "We will serve you, devil, if you'll get us free from under the boot of the French." And so the devil said, "Okay, it's a deal." And ever since, they have been cursed. Ever since, they have been desperately poor. Of course, that's the Word of Faith mantra. If you suffer poverty, well, you're under a curse. And so the rationale here is that the Dominican Republic, they didn't make a pact with the devil. It was only Haiti. And thus Haiti is suffering for the sins of their forefathers who allegedly made this, well, this pact with the devil. The Dominican Republic, of course, did not. And so they are scot-free. Of course, we know from history that that's not the case. But Jesus Christ had a completely different take on things as well. And we ought to listen to Jesus Christ. What was his perspective? Well, when people died as a result of a tragedy, he said, "Do not think that they were more guilty than all the others." No, they weren't. In fact, unless you repent, you're going to suffer the same fate. And that is a warning to all Christians. It's a warning in the sense that we ought not simply to believe what leaders are telling us. So often these leaders are spouting sophistry. They're using sloppy journalism, no better than the world. Sensationalism, oftentimes selling. It's quite frankly, it's detestable. We ought to test what they say in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is good. What is true of Scripture is true of media. Don't uncritically believe everything you hear, but test. That's what we're called to do. Test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. The Bereans were counted as being more noble because daily they examined the Scriptures to see if even what the Apostle Paul was saying was in fact so. And as I've noted on previous broadcasts, the increase of natural disasters that is so touted by leaders has been greatly exaggerated. For example, earthquakes. Earthquakes are said to be coming more and more rampant as we enter the end times. Well, the truth of the matter is, if you do any study on this, earthquake activity has diminished. There's a great article in the Christian Research Journal on that. And the truth is, the same with hurricanes. By the way, you can find that article on the web at equip.org. But think hurricanes for a moment. In 2006, when Al Gore was at the apex of promoting sophistry and sloppy journalism as he was touring the world, not a single hurricane hit the U.S. 2007 and 8, oh, there are only a few Category 1 storms. 2009 and 10, nothing. 2011, one storm. Of course, 2012, we all remember Sandy, which dropped below Category 1 before making landfall, did a tremendous amount of damage. But that was less a function of velocity than it was a failure to build modern hurricane-resistant structures in hurricane-susceptible areas. And by the way, we've become more and more of a large target because we're building in places that are susceptible to hurricanes, and that's why we see tremendous tragedies taking place. You don't see those tragedies as much, let's say, inland in Charlotte as you would in Wilmington, which is right on the coast. So if you're building in those areas, you're building a larger and larger bullseye for hurricanes to hit. 2013 through 15, there was minimal hurricane activity. Instead, the new hysteria was over the unprecedented hurricane inactivity. In other words, then the narrative sort of flipped. We were talking about drought, and that was ultimately broken in 2017 by Hurricane Harvey, the first major hurricane in 12 years. So we've heard about the havoc wreaked by Hurricane Florence, but so often we don't hear about the benefits. And I did mention them on a previous edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I think because they're so neglected, let me mention them once again. Nature works in synergistic fashion. Remember that the gravity that keeps us on the planet also allows for painful falls, and so it is with hurricanes. Hurricanes are a powerful source of lightning, and lightning transforms atmospheric nitrogen into plant food. As I've said before, hurricanes relieve drought. But there are so many places on the planet that would not get rain apart from the phenomenon of hurricanes. Hurricanes bring oxygen to surface water. They disperse bacteria. And they facilitate, as I think I said in the first segment of this broadcast, climate change by distributing equatorial heat. Many other things could be said about them, pruning and clearing forests, increasing diversity of forest life, and so forth. So there is a benefit to the way God created the function of nature, even though that function is now operating within a fallen world. My point in saying all of this is, in the midst of these kinds of tragedies, we listen to secular media news sources and we get one perspective, and so often we uncritically buy into it. But as Christians, we ought not to do that. We ought to think critically about circumstances so that the answers we give to people are not glib, but they're well thought through. In other words, we need to learn to think Christianly from a Christian worldview perspective. Let me leave it at that, and as we close the broadcast, alert you once again to Paul, Apostle of Christ, the DVD. This is, of course, the DVD of the great movie, many people miss this. Even if you watched it, you ought to have it for your library. It's something that I'm sure I will watch again and again. It's one of the most powerful movies I've ever seen. The reviews weren't always stellar, but parts of that is people not understanding the Christian worldview, not understanding that a lot of the narrative comes directly from the Bible, and it is communicated in the most powerful, poignant way. Paul, Apostle of Christ, the DVD, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Of course, many other resources, The Last Christians by Andreas Knapp, It's Dangerous to Believe by Mary Eberstadt, and Raymond Ibrahim's tremendous book, Crucified Again. All those resources you can check out on the web at equip.org. We send a resource to you as you support the ministry. And we thank all of you who do continue to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Have a great weekend. I'm going to be attending my mother's funeral. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. So long for now.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Paul, Apostle of Christ on DVD. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Christians in the Islamic world are vastly outnumbered and politically subjugated under the Islamic way. In Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, Raymond Ibrahim poignantly states one urgent reason why the West in its entirety, Christians and non-Christians, liberals and conservatives, deists and atheists, should take note of and respond to Muslim persecution of Christians. It is a reflection of what Islam has in store for them. Ibrahim explains that if the mainstream media were to report honestly on the persecution of Christians under Islam, the obvious implications that Islam is dangerously hostile to all non-Muslims would be inescapable. Read Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. To receive your copy as our thanks, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org.